When First Nation leaders talk about treaty rights, most Canadians may not realize those agreements are a direct link between Native people and the British Crown. This is not something Native people are likely to forget. And so this week's visit to Canada by Prince William and his wife Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, prompted Anita Olson Harper to write about this historic connection. She joined me to talk about it from our Ottawa studio before the program. Welcome to The Link.
Thank you.
So let's start with the legal relationship between the First Nations and the British Crown. Tell me about that.
Treaty making began between Great Britain and the First Nations as far back as 1763 with the Royal Proclamation. And that agreement, it was decided, or it was known, it was acknowledged that the way to procure land for settlement and for the new colonial state coming up was through treaty making. It wasn't through conquest or occupation, even though occupation was already happening. And then as time went on, the BNA Act was passed and Canada became a nation. The treaties were signed, the number of treaties, the Victorian treaties, were signed afterwards. And the First Nations truly believed that these were nation-to-nation treaties, and that was between the First Nations and the British Crown. And unless it was with the consent of the First Nations, that could not have been relegated out of their hands and be represented by another party, such as the Canadian government.
In your piece in the Ottawa Citizen, you talked about a symbolic relationship between the First Nations and the Crown. What do you mean by that?
By symbolic, I mean that this happened many generations ago, and that several monarchs have sat on the throne since Queen Victoria. So now when we see Prince William coming to Canada, he is a symbol of those relationships. And even though he has not yet ascended the throne, there will be a time that he will. And we do hope that he will probe history strongly and deeply enough to realize what has truly happened between the British Crown and our people as sovereign nations who entered into solemn and binding treaties.
The treaties you refer to were negotiated, as you said, during the reign of Queen Victoria. How was Queen Victoria seen by Aboriginal people at the time?
Well, she is often called the Great Mother or Grandmother, and she is still referred to that in many times. She was seen as the hope of the fulfillment of the treaties and what was promised, what was agreed on at the treaty talks. And I'd like to just make the point that what is written in the treaties on text is not necessarily what was said orally. There, of course, there's a lot of contradictions and confusion about that as well. But nevertheless, the link is great that has never been broken between the First Nations and Queen Victoria.
First Nations that signed treaties with the Crown were given a special token of those agreements. Tell us about that.
It was a silver medallion. It was about the size of, maybe 3.5 or 4 inches across. And it was silver. And there were inscriptions on it according to what treaty was being signed and negotiated, and they were given to the leaders who were the signatories of the treaty. It showed a picture of a newcomer shaking hands with the chief.
I understand you have a replica of one. How did you come to have that?
The replicas are actually fairly easy to procure. My husband and I go to a lot of treaty celebrations, and sometimes they are given out, but it's very clear those are only replicas.
What's a treaty celebration?
It's a celebration that the treaty was signed and that it is forever and ever. As long as the sun shines, the grass grows, and the rivers flow, as quoted by Alexander Morris.
Is that an anniversary, let's say, of a treaty
signing? Yes.
So it's celebrated annually?
Depending on the nation or the nations, sometimes it's every 5 years, sometimes every 10. It depends.
Canadian governments don't seem to measure up to the British Crown for Native people. Can you talk about the 1982 repatriation of the Canadian Constitution under Prime Minister Trudeau and the role of First Nations at that time?
In 1982, there were no First Nations signatories to that. The Constitution Act 1982 was signed by Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, and Elizabeth II. And although there were supposed to be a series of conferences that were to bring the First Nations on board, they all ended in failure. And the First Nations do not consider that we have ever been a part of that.
The Meech Lake Accord was an attempt to get Quebec to sign on to the Constitution. Can you talk about how it dealt with First Nations at this point and the historic stand your husband, Elijah Harper, took in regard to that accord?
Elijah actually was not voting against Quebec as a founding nation, contrary to what some people may believe. What he was opposing was the exclusion of the First Nations into the constitutional talks and being identified and formally articulated as founding nations. The way it was written with the two founding nations was a lie, and anything that is based on a lie cannot stand, and that is what he was objecting against.
What's your sense of how Native people are reacting to Prince William and Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge's visit this week?
I think a lot of us are very, very happy that they're here. They seem like a nice, bright couple and give us a lot of hope that the monarchy has changed from the old ways of representation that we have seen over the years, and that they seem in tune with the people, with, you know, the average everyday person. And we hope that somewhere along the way there will be First Nations representation in some places on the tours. I think we are all happy that he is here and appears to be having a great time.
And just before we go, as you spoke about the situation of First Nations with the repatriation of the Constitution in 82 and Meech Lake in 90, where do things stand now?
Well, right now, I don't think that First Nations feel a lot of hope, because I think Canadians generally feel that the treaties were long ago and historical, and why on earth are we talking about them in this day and age? Which is really what the stance that Trudeau took back in 1969 and onwards. And I feel that what is really needed now, we need to ask ourselves, what are the infrastructures and the mechanisms that are needed to bring true dialogue to the table where confederation can be discussed? And I know that kind of seems laughable or ridiculous or historical, but we were not on board with confederation either. And the treaties can actually be used as a way of doing this. We do need a lot of creative, educated, and knowledgeable First Nations leaders to come together to talk about things like that with the federal government and also the provincial governments.
Anita Olson-Harper, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
I was speaking with Anita Olson-Harper. She holds a PhD in education with an emphasis on history from the University of Ottawa.